I'd like to welcome everybody. My name is Scott Wolford. Welcome everybody to the panel discussion and media question and answer session for the Central Utah Agropark Project Area. This is a project that promises to transform the economic landscape of Central Utah and beyond, and it represents a remarkable collaboration effort between JUAB, San Pete, Wayne, Millard, Paiute, and Sevier counties. This project is driven by a shared vision of fostering meaningful rural economic development, responsible infrastructure planning, and bolstering food security throughout Utah. It is, without a doubt, a model for regional progress that we are excited to delve into today. We have a lot to explore in our discussion today regarding the possibilities and impact the AgriPark project area holds for Juab County and Utah's future, especially with regard to the region's agricultural capabilities. We are thankful to have a great group of panelists joining us who will highlight the interconnectedness of this venture. We also appreciate the media joining us and look forward to addressing your questions. With that, we're going to start with some questions by credentialed media, and Larry Shepard's going to help us for remote. If we have any credentialed media in the room who would like to ask a question, we'd be happy to take that. How about remotely? Larry, do we have any?
Can we ask those who are remote if you would like to ask a question? Use the raise hands feature in Zoom, and we'll know to unmute.
Would you be introducing the panelists?
I will. Okay. I'm going to do them first, and then I'll introduce.
I'm not seeing any requests.
Chief, I'm going to move on. Are you okay? Okay. I'm going to introduce our panel today, and I'm going to do the best I can to get them all right because they're in a different order. Who put these name tags up incorrectly? We have with us Commissioner Scott Bartholomew from San Pete County. We have Travis Kill, the Executive Director of the 6 County AOG. We have Roger Bryan, Commissioner Roger Bryan from Wayne County. We have Holly Sweet, who is the, you know, full title, Outreach Director for the Southern Communities for Congressman Owens' office. We have Senator Darren Owens from the Utah State Senate. We have Zach Jensen, the owner of M&K Farms from San Pete County, and we have Dustin Christensen, the Farm Bureau President from Sevier County. Can we start with a round of applause so I can figure out what that is? Travis, let's start with you. I want you to talk a little bit about this is a unique project area in that we have an association of government who is the major stakeholder and has worked to unify those 6 counties. Talk to me about the importance of the project and the 6 county AOG's role.
Great question, Scott. Thank you for that. 6 county AOG has been so excited to lead out on this project. It's been mentioned many times today how unique and probably the first time in the state of Utah where 6 counties have come together for a single purpose and actually put funds into a project outside of their county. And for you, those of you that are herded cats, commissioners before, know how hard that can be and challenging that can be to get them to potentially put money into their into the project outside of their county. But we're very proud of the work that's been done. We recognize the benefit this will have to our entire region. In our region, we've lived or died on regional economic development projects. We work, we play, we travel across community and county boundaries, right? We have to in rural Utah to be successful, and we see that being a great project for all of our region and all of rural Utah and Utah in general.
Throw that down to Zach. Zach, talk to me about the importance of this project for local producers and maybe the challenges you faced and what this may help to alleviate.
So the biggest importance to helping myself as a producer is creating a market to the world. In our area, we've kind of been restricted to the borders. When you grow a crop and you have to sell it within, say, a 15-mile radius, because the only way to harvest it is maybe to chop it. When you start freight and water, it gets really expensive and you're not hauling a lot of commodity, you're not hauling a lot of crop. What this park can do with farming is make it to where you can grow grain crops, you can ship them out of the state, you can keep them locally. I was asked, you know, if a flour facility would be beneficial here, and I think it would. There's been a lot of talk and discussion over the last few years, not only from the COVID pandemic, but also the drought that we've been dealing with. It gives us an opportunity to grow different crops, crops that may be a little more drought tolerant, make it possible to do things that may help conserve water a little better for our area. There's countless things that this will do for producers in our area.
Let's bring it over here and let's have the commissioners weigh in. Again, this is pretty unique, and let's start here with Mr. Bartholomew. Talk to me a little bit about how do you get into a project collaborating with five other counties, and what are the challenges and what are the successes you're seeing so far?
So this did not go real smooth to begin with. When it was first proposed, everybody was for it, as long as it was in our county. And, you know, when they proposed it to be in Juab County, it did not go over real well with the other commissioners. And it took some talking and some explaining as to why, with the infrastructure that's in place here. And they sold us, and then it was our job to go back and sell the rest of the commissioners, which was not an easy job. Once we did sell them, then they wanted some seed money. And none of us counties have extra money laying around. And we just told them we couldn't do it, couldn't come up with the money. And we were in a meeting, six county meeting, actually. And Commissioner Bushman, he says, now listen, if Paiute can come up with $200,000, why can't Sanford? And I said, where did you come up with $200,000? And he told us that he was using these economic development funds. And that was a valid use for it. And so it was. And we recognized that. The only problem is we'd already committed ours. And so Jenna Draper got involved.
Uh-oh.
Bless her heart. And she's not even, oh, there
he is. Oh, yeah, here.
She went back to the people that we had committed the money to and asked them if they would take the money over a 2-year period. Mm-hmm. And the sixth county agreed to let us pay off in a 2-year period. And so it worked out in the long run.
Mr. Bryan, same question. Talk to me about the collaboration with all the counties and maybe the nervousness about supporting a project that's not in your county.
Well, it's probably not as hard for us to support it as for Santa Fe County, as far as not being in our county, because we are very, very, we're the furthest out of any of these counties. We have 2,500 people living there. We don't have any infrastructure. We have no freeways. We have no railroads. The only way you get to Wayne County is if you're lost or you're going camping. We'll have relatives there. You don't even go through there to get somewhere. So as far as economic development for us, you know, we'd love to have something that we could do in our county, but logistically, it's just not possible. We don't have the population. We don't have the infrastructure. What we have is agriculture and tourism. And if we can provide a way to get our agriculture products, whether it's wool, lambs, crop products, as Zach mentioned, a lot of things used to be grown over there that aren't anymore because of markets. And this was a good fit, because here in Juab County is a lot closer than Salt Lake or Colorado or California or the Midwest. And so it makes sense. As just as an example, when we go to sell cows on a video, they are 5 to 10 cents less here in Utah, because we are in the middle. We're that much further away from the Midwest. We're that much further away from Colorado, California. And if we can somehow get that to stay here and make our products worth that extra 10 cents a pound or so, it's worth it.
Mr. Bushman,
So it was kind of, it was tough to not spend money, but we're very supportive of it. So
send over to Dustin. Dustin, talk to me about the impact of the project here in the Farm Bureau and maybe what opportunities this opens up for the Farm Bureau.
So, Farm Bureau's main objective is to protect and preserve agriculture in open spaces and strengthen families through the miracle of agriculture. So anytime you can put a project together that will strengthen the economics of the family farm, then you preserve that for generations. I believe that I've heard it said that global warming is going to kill us, and agriculture is the cure for that. Plants is the cure for that. So we need to strengthen and protect agriculture as much as possible. John F. Kennedy once said, "The farmer is the only man in our economy who buys everything at retail, sells everything at wholesale, and pays the freight both ways." So anything we can do to lower the cost of that freight, that strengthens our family farms. And, I've heard today many times that agriculture has built this state. It's not only built the state, it's built the nation. And anything we can do to protect and preserve that is very vital and important to our rural economies. The Utah State Extension agent in Weber County did a study about the multiplier effect. Utah Farm Bureau President Wade Elison talked earlier about the multiplier effect. In that study, he said every dollar that agriculture brings in cash receipts is multiplied 6.5 times in the local economy. And not only is that multiplied 6.5 times, but all of that money is new money. New money that is grown right there within these counties. So it's very important that we protect and preserve the family farm. Then in turn, that strengthens Farm Bureau as a whole within the whole state. The stronger our members, the stronger our organization.
To Senator Owens. Senator, the legislature's had their eye on this for well before the Inland Port got involved. Talk to me a little bit from a statewide perspective, what the legislature sees here and what opportunities they hope to accomplish.
Okay, thanks, Scott. Thanks for the perspective and question to consider. From the legislature, we all know, and especially if you live south of what some of the rural legislators call the Payson Dixon line, there are two Utahs really exist. Well, it actually is a truth. And the economic winds that have blown in the Wasatch Front haven't blown in rural areas. So thankfully for tourism and for our agriculture friends and a few other industries. So at a state level, I think this is a great way for rural Utah to help relieve some of the pressures off the Wasatch Front and help with food security and maybe even some of the processing that could come out of those counties and into these counties who have been, this is a beacon of hope to help provide jobs so that the children of rural Utah have options. And if they want to move to the Wasatch Front, that's great. But if they should have the option and the choice in that. So I hope that as a state, we provide that. And I've been very grateful to colleagues on the Hill who have considered this. There are really only 8 legislators who represent rural Utah anymore with the population numbers and just a few counties. So having infrastructure here, seeing the collaboration among the elected officials, and that goes clear to city, counties, and then to state. When 18 out of 18 of my county commissioners in the 6 county area voted for this, it's really a no-brainer on the state part. So it was easy for me to get behind. I was grateful for all of their support on the Hill to get the funding for this. And I am so thrilled for the future of agriculture and this multiplier effect for these families who are going to stay here for generations and provide the food that all of us need to sustain life.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Holly, from a federal perspective, talk to me a little bit about the implication of this project, specifically about national food security and national supply chains.
Thanks for that question. And I've taken some time to really think about this and give you Congressman Burgess Owens' perspective on it. So I want to give you a little context. It'll take me a couple of minutes just to get to your question. Okay. As Congressman Owens represents four counties in the Utah area, with each having rural communities, he's been a champion for the economic viability of such areas. He represents three of the four fastest growing cities in Utah, and some that are poised to grow and others that run the risk of becoming stagnant or non-viable altogether. As the congressman looked at all of the communities, he recognized the need for support from the infrastructure standpoint. So last year, he campaigned to be on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, as he recognized that this would be a great resource for the citizens of Utah and its growth trajectory. Part of the process is understandably the needs of these, is understanding the needs of the communities individually, and then how we fit together as a state when it comes to overall economic health and the wise planning for the future. He believes, as do I, that the potential for the Inland Port to come into communities as invited by them can be a tremendous lift and a helping hand to boost a community's potential for overall success and health through wise planning of infrastructure to support agriculture, small and medium-sized businesses, and housing, especially too, when it provides a way to keep our children here and give them robust opportunities for training and employment. And we want our children here. I'm a seventh generation Utah myself, and my family has ranched and farmed this land from the mid-1850s. And I'm here to tell you that we want our families to stay here. And they're not able to do that unless we can actually provide a reason for them to stay in these industries. Because on a federal level, we see that that the regulations for such industries is basically it's strangling the industries, right? Just for instance, our sheep industry here is being strangled by the imports flooding in from Australia. Sheep industry is at a zero-sum game. Our sheep industry, they are not making a dime. Now, what are our sheep farmers, ranchers supposed to do? And it's becoming that way with cattle as well. We must support our Utah ranchers and farmers and their families in their pursuit to sustain their families and contribute to our food security, not only here in Utah, but nationally as well. We can become a model nationally for what it looks like to have this free flow of commerce, not only within our state, but nationally. And through these inland port projects, we can help our rural, we can take that pressure off of the larger region and help our families to grow down south. And, you know, Utah from its very beginning has been an organization of industry and thrift. And we want to see Utah return to what it used to look like. The inland port is definitely a national model, but really it's a Utah first model.
Let's start over here from my left and we'll go across. I want each panelist to just take a moment. And if we look forward 25 years into the future when this project area is on turn back to the locals, what type of things do we hope to see to consider this successful?
In 25 years, I'll probably be looking up from hell and in all reality. So, you know, there again, I think I can sum up the vision of this to begin with, to go back to the original question. None of us commissioners felt like we had the time to be on the panel and the board. And so we asked Zach if he would represent Sand Peak for us. And he done a great job. And early on, Zach come to me and he says, I don't know that I want to do this anymore. Remember that? We aren't doing anything. We aren't accomplishing anything. And I encouraged him to stay on a little bit. And shortly thereafter, he come back and he was enthused and he says, this is going to work. You know, I can do this, this, and this with my operation. And then I got thinking, yeah, you know, we can all do that instead of shipping like my dad did to Chino, California with his sheep, or I have to Nebraska and take all those losses that go along with that. It's the security of this to have everything in-house, you know, the hay that's produced for it and the fruits and everything else that goes with it, right? It's a great idea.
Success in 25 years?
25 years.
I'll only say one because everybody has to say one because I have lots.
Take 10 or 12. Make them dance.
Make it hard on them. From day one, we've said we want to save the family farm, right? That's been the goal from day one. And the success for saving the family farm is not going to explain, but it's more money in their pockets, right? It's not to make them rich. They're definitely not going to get rich, being a farmer or rancher in the state of Utah. But if we want to accomplish what we're trying to do, we have to provide, farming and ranching as a viable, career for our kids and for future generations. And if we're successful, we'll have more farms, family owned farms and ranches 25 years from now than we do today.
Now I, just to build on what Bob said about family farms, I'm a fifth generation farmer also down there. And my sons are right there with me right now. But they have to have jobs outside and help me occasionally. And we're trying our best to keep them there. I've been one of the lucky few to have my family right there with me. We all live on the same block. What I would like to see in 25 years is that next generation, those little 2 and 3 year old kids that are coming up right now that love to go with grandpa in the tractor, that ability is still there, that we haven't sold out to tourism, so to speak, and the resorts and all that kind of stuff, that we still are able to farm. And I think this project is going to help that be sustainable. So.
In 25 years, I would hope that the culture of Utah returns to its more authentic self, and that some of the commodities that were part of the Utah farms are now able to return. Number one being sugar beets. You can't find sugar beets in Utah, can you? Because you can't get them processed, right? Sugar snap peas as well. Those were two big commodities that were grown in Utah that can no longer be grown or processed or shipped. Utah is a difficult place. We are a desert. We are not California. We are positioned to do certain things, and and other things we're not so well positioned. So we have to find our niche. And if we can find that niche again, we can really be successful. And I see that happening. And like you said, our grandchildren will be loving the land again of Utah.
Thanks, Scott. It really is something to think about. And first of all, I have to agree with the direction that Commissioner Bartholomew will be looking from this place in 25 years. I just agree with you.
You're going to say hi to me. Thank you.
Good. I'll be right there by you. We will see 1,000+ acres unencumbered by housing and development, manufacturing, and other things, at least at minimum, that has robust all kinds of industry to support agriculture. We will see that in 25 years. We'll see the farms have a place to go as a model. And for getting back to what my friend Holly said, the Utah of old will be one Utah. Again, because there will be economic value in rural Utah along with our urban trend. So get to the one Utah. And I think you'll see a generation standing on the shoulders of people who are willing to dream. We haven't built a dam in this state in 40 years. And thank God we had pioneer ancestors who were willing to dream and think big about things like this. Exactly. So I think we'll see a thriving next generation will be proud of.
So I hope I'm not looking up with you two. The sad truth of 25 years down the road, I will be the average age of a farmer. And so in that sense, it's a little humbling, and I hope, you know, with this project, it may help that become a lower number with, at least within our state. You know, you look at the next generation coming up, and I'm seventh with the eighth generation there, my nephew. You know, and I hope in 25 years, I have something that I am confident in passing on to him. You know, there's no bigger fear. I know my dad was that way when I was in high school. You know, if you want to be here, great. If you don't, great. You know, go ahead and move on, because it's tough. So I hope in 25 years that when it's my time to maybe pass on the torch to the next generation, that there's something worth being there for and worth the time and the effort that's put into it.
Dustin, final word. No pressure.
Good job. That means I can cuss and swear, right? Success to me for this project within 20 years is grain handling facilities there for a market for local grain, wool processing facility for our sheep, beef processing facility, meat processing facilities, milk processing facilities. My farm is so dependent on what my local livestock people are doing. I have 8 cows, but that's not very many. My product is primarily alfalfa, corn, and wheat. If my neighbors that have the feedlots and the dairies that have the milk aren't sustainable, they won't pay me very much for my hay. This one thing about dry commodities is, you know, Zach mentioned that, if you produce silage is a wet product where you get paid for your dry matter, but not your moisture. And so your market area is very small. When you have drier commodities, the world is your market. But we need the ability to get that product to the world. you know, a friend of mine used to haul milk for Bradshaw's out of Beaver, and he just about went crazy every time he went to Salt Lake to deliver milk, and drove him to quit driving truck. And people up there don't want those trucks on the there. No, the dairies have to pay freight to get their feed into them, and then they have to pay freight to get the milk to Salt Lake. Why not pay freight to get the milk to Juab County? It just strengthens things. So I would like to see all kinds of processing facilities here in Juab so that they're closer to the market, lower that freight cost to the producers. 25 years from now, I've got 3 children, 2 grandchildren, and 2 more grandchildren on the way. Success to me is they are still farming. The solar panels are not on our farm, which it's very tough to say no to them when they're willing to pay you more than what you can produce. That's success to me. Thank you to everybody involved in this project. It's fantastic.
We have a round of applause for our company.
I want to add one thing. I think a good success story for the AgriPark would be when we can go to the grocery store and you can find a stamp that says grown in Utah, packaged in Utah.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, everybody out there, and thank you.
Thanks, Matt.